Hello and welcome to yet another episode of the Business Spotlight series. I'm your host Devi Malavika, and joining me today is the very jovial Paul Cobb. Paul is the head of the family team and the owner of Rothera Bray LLP. And Rothera Bray has been providing expert legal advice for nearly 200 years. Now, Paul, I had to read that twice on your website to make sure that it wasn't 20 years, because 200 years is massive. You know, 200
it's
years
huge,
is massive.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is. So, Paul, why don't you kick us off by telling our viewers a little bit more about Rothera Bray and what exactly it is that you do?
Well, we're a firm in the East Midlands. We've got offices in Nottingham, Derby and Leicester. As you properly said, we're this year, in fact, we'll be celebrating sort of 200 years of services to the local community, which is quite an achievement. I think if you look on our website, we've got 4,214 years of legal advice experience between us, which is also very impressive. For my part, I'm the head of the family team. We are one of the largest family teams now in the East Midlands. We deal with all aspects of family law. So we deal with divorce, resolution of financial matters on divorce, children issues, care proceedings, and all of the sorts of things you would expect people might need help with in difficult times for their family. I'm personally trained as a collaborative family lawyer, which is an alternate method for people of trying to resolve family disputes. So rather than having lots of court hearings or anything like that, they have a series of meetings, and I deal with that and help them resolve issues, hopefully for the benefit of their families.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. You know, there's just so much growth that I can think of. And I happened to go through your website. I also found that you win awards after awards. You know, most recently, I think you won the award for the excellence in customer service. And now it's not even the end of the first month of the year. And then you're already nominated for Partner of the Year, Solicitor of the Year, Team of the Year. You know, so I can see a lot of growth going on there. So what would you attribute your growth to?
I think it's always lovely to be recognized by outsiders, whether that's in the legal community or otherwise, with these awards, and we're all very pleased with that. And I think our growth comes from our commitment to the level of service that we provide to our clients, our willingness to want to help the local community, and our commitment to sustainability and all those sorts of issues. I think what sets us apart from many firms is that we want to make a difference in so many ways, both in terms of the lives of our clients, but also in relation to our local communities and to the wider world. And I think, particularly for me as I get older, that whole idea of legacy becomes more important, and you want to leave behind something that is better than you came into. And the only way to do that really is through growth and organic growth, encouraging the people that you work with to feel comfortable, to feel that they can talk and be heard and be listened to, and all those sorts of things that, you know, in many ways are lots of buzzwords of the moment. But if you actually do it properly and you create that sort of environment, it works, and it's a good place to work.
Absolutely, Paul. I agree 100% with that, because I also think it's, you know, so listening to you, I think the main learning that I've had is, one, commitment. Two, it's not just about the journey, but also about how you get there. And three, you need to build so much trust in your team that they feel that they belong, and then they are equally committed to the cause of making a difference, of creating a legacy. Right. So that really resonated with me, you know, absolutely bang on, you know, wonderful words that you said. But I also think along with growth, you would have also faced a lot of challenges. So what do you think, according to you, is a current challenge faced by the business?
I think the biggest challenge is to continue to grow and to continue to adapt to an ever-changing sort of landscape. I mean, I've been practicing now for more years than I care to remember, but it's something in the region of about 30 years, I think.
Wow.
And I look back over that time, and for example, one of the challenges all businesses face, I think, at this particular moment in time is retaining your client base and growing that client base, and being able to provide services in a way that clients want. So, for example, I know from my own children, the last thing they ever want to do is to speak to a human being. They're much happier talking to a computer and having a chatbot, which is fine. And that, for me, I think is quite a challenge. It's finding a way of delivering services that meet the needs of the younger generation, but also don't alienate either those people that don't want to consume services in that way, or simply don't have the technology or the technological wherewithal to be able to do it. And that's a huge challenge.
You know,
and
balancing
that's, it's all to do with technology and all of that.
Yes, fair enough. You know, balancing systemization, but at the same time, personalization, you know, it is difficult. It's not easy. So I can understand what you're getting to. Wow, that's amazing. So what has your biggest learning been as an employer since you began in the business?
Gosh, that is a question, isn't it? I think, depending if you'd asked me this question 10 or 20 years ago, you'd got a very different answer. But I think now, because my experience teaches me that really what's important is that you have to be kind to people, to yourself, to those around you, to those in your teams. You have to encourage people, mentor them, play to their strengths. And, you know, we all have to accept that some of us are better at some things than others. And it's identifying what people's strengths are and understanding their weaknesses and how to make the most of that and encouraging their growth as much as anything else. And I think, because my background is sort of broadly a working class background, and I think it's also important, you know, people talk about pulling the ladder up behind you, that it's important that you do give back to your community, your schools, wherever it is, to encourage other people to want to do better, to want to grow, and to, you know, people talk about being the change you want to see and all those sorts of things. But the reality is that for most people, if you have a dream or a desire to do something in particular, then follow that dream. There would be nothing worse than getting to retirement or whatever it might be. And I regret not doing that. Life's far too short. And I think that's the most important thing to remember, is that we never know how much longer we've got here. So make the most of it and enjoy it. And don't worry too much about what other people think.
Wow, you got me thinking, Paul. Now I have to set some time for my self-reflection and start thinking about what you said, because it's so true. If you don't enjoy what you do, then it doesn't make any sense.
And you know, I'm very lucky in that I do very much enjoy what I do. So it's also about finding what you like and what you do enjoy doing and getting pleasure out of it, because most of us are going to be at work for an awfully long time. So you have to enjoy it.
Yes,
most
absolutely.
Of the time, you know,
absolutely.
We all have our bad days, but yes.
Yes, we do. We do have our bad days, but yes, I do agree with you. And it is very important to also build a cohesive team, play to the strengths, like you said. Everybody, they all have different strengths. So the right person in the right seat for the right job, that's so important. And then building that cohesive team, it's very important. So words of gold from you right there. Final question, how do you balance your personal life with the demands of running Rotherabri?
I think it's a skill you learn. In many ways, I personally am a family lawyer, and I think in many ways it's vocational, really. I think it would be very easy if you're a different sort of person to take home all of the emotional baggage that we pick up from our clients dealing with what is inevitably a very stressful situation. So I think you have to learn to an extent to compartmentalize that and to be able to close the door when you walk out of the office, and to a large extent forget about that, because it's not fair to you or to your family or friends to take all of that out of the office with you and let it impact negatively on your well-being, really. So it is about cultivating that ability to feel able to do that, but more importantly, perhaps, to give yourself permission to do that. Because I think lots of younger people, there's an expectation that perhaps they do have to work long hours and all of those. And that's not really what it's about. It's about doing the role that you're assigned to do in the time you have. And occasionally, yes, it may be necessary to work longer hours, but that should never be the norm. You know, you have to find a place where that's not discouraged, but where it isn't expected, so that you do have that work-life balance that's so important to people's well-being. And that will then help you get better at your role.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, you just summarized that right there, because even I tend to take my work home, you know. You start thinking about the things that you couldn't do that day. You start thinking about everything that went wrong. And then that eventually gets into the conversations that you have with your family. And it just doesn't set the tone right. So you really need to know where to draw that line.
That's it. And it's about being present, isn't it, for the people that you're with at that moment in time. You know, if you're having dinner and talking to your family, whatever it's about, you should be present in that moment and enjoying that. You shouldn't have to be thinking about, well, I've still got X, Y, and Z to do tomorrow when I get into the office. You know, time is precious, and you should be present at that stage.
And I also, within the tenure that I've had, I've also learned that smart work is very, very important. Working hard is just obsolete, you know, because you spend so long doing things which you can do a lot more efficiently, and you just need to think about it, find ways to do it a lot more efficiently, where you save time, things are done, you don't worry about it anymore.
Because my brother always used to say to me, you should work smarter, not harder. And there's so much truth in that. And it's about giving yourself permission. You know, if something does take you not as long as it used to take you, that's a recognition of your experience and your skill and your knowledge and all of those sorts of things. And that's what people come to you for. They buy, in effect, that knowledge, that skill and that experience, and they expect you to use that. And just because we can do something in a particular period, if we get it done more quickly, we shouldn't beat ourselves up about that. Really, we should celebrate that, because that's an indicator of how far we've come.
Exactly. Wow. So that was an amazing conversation. I had so much fun learning about you, your experience, your journey. So thank you so much, Paul, for spending the time to take this interview with us. Thank you.
It was lovely. Thank you very much for your time, for asking me on. Yeah. I've really enjoyed it.
Likewise. Thank you, Paul.
Okay. Take care. Thank you.